to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm your host, James Edwards, and it is Saturday evening, December 19th, our last broadcast before Christmas, which is coming up quick on Friday. We're coming to you live this week, as always, from AM 1380 WLRM Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and streaming live via the internet at thepoliticalcesspool.org. That's our official internet headquarters. We're also going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network, libertynewsradio.com, in addition to the Liberty News Wire and satellite. So many ways to listen to us. And if you can't catch us live with all those means at your disposal, you can always tune into the broadcast archives, which are available to you on demand 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, at both of those websites I just mentioned, thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. A great and instructive first hour with Keith Alexander. What a brilliant mind that man possesses. We're very lucky to have him on the staff here, the hosting staff, which includes, in addition to myself, him and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Winston Smith, both of whom you'll hear, by the way, during tonight's third hour. Bill Rowland rounds out the quintet that is the Political Cesspool hosting staff. And speaking of quintets and five, it has been 5 years, you know, just 5 years in October 26th, to be exact. This radio program celebrated its fifth year of broadcasting excellence. When the calendar flips over to January 2010, we will officially be in what will be our sixth year on the AM and FM airwaves. And I tell you, and we talked about this earlier in the program during the first hour, what an impact, what a profound and lasting impact you, our friends and fans out there in the listening audience, have made on this show over the course of the last 5 years. This radio program has gotten bigger than I ever imagined it could, and you have facilitated that. Ladies and gentlemen, you are the reason we are where we are, and we are everywhere. You look at the guests we've had, from Pat Buchanan. I mentioned next week we're going to be doing the 2009 Year in Review show. One of our most memorable interviews this year was with our good friend, and he's been a friend of mine for a few years now, Nick Griffin, the chairman of the British National Party. He is an elected member of the European Parliament. Obviously a very prestigious seat there that he holds, and he's been one of the many guests on the show this year. People like Kevin MacDonald and Paul Craig Roberts, and you look at these luminaries. I mean, you know, you're talking about Pat Buchanan and Paul Craig Roberts. Well, this show has become so iconic and so powerful with such a large audience that when you read about these guys, inevitably we are always mentioned along with them, because the fact that they have appeared on this program is so noteworthy. You go to Paul Craig Roberts' biography and he'll mention that he's been a guest on this show. That's something that's big news. This is a show that over the course of those last 5 years has made headlines in the biggest publications and broadcast entities you could imagine, from CNN and those appearances I've made there to the London Times and the New York Times and countless other media entities that have written about us and talked about us, both good, bad, and indifferent, attacked us. It's just wow, moving. It's just the words escape me, the proper adjectives escape me to describe exactly everything that's happened over the last 5 years and what that means and how far we've come. It's an honor beyond words. But in speaking of all those things that we've been mentioning, Joe McCutcheon's our guest this evening. He's going to be coming up after the first commercial break, and we're going to get to him after the break. But Joe McCutcheon is a real hero of mine. He's done so much for our people, and he's fought so hard. He has set the example that I have tried to follow. He is one of the people that I've really tried to mimic in terms of my activism, just a real bulldog. And he puts his money where his mouth is. He takes the fight right to the enemy. He doesn't back down. And I first met Joe when this show first came on the air back in 2004 and 2005. In fact, Joe McCutchen and Michael Gaddy, these were two of the original founding components of the Minuteman Project back in April of 2005, back when it was a legitimate movement. And Joe and Mike Gaddy, he's a columnist for LouRockwell.com, a regular guest on this program, Mr. Gaddy is. They would call in every night from the border there, and this was before the Minutemen. And no one knew them back then. This was before they became, you know, national sensations a couple of weeks later in April. And, of course, since then, you know, we had Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox on the show, too, before they cashed in and moved on. But I was reading, talking about all the publicity this show gets now. Michael Gaddy apparently wrote a column that the SPLC doesn't like, and the SPLC, of course, inevitably mentioned in their attack on Michael Gaddy that he had appeared on this program. That's further proof that he's a no-good scoundrel. But I tell you, folks, you know, we want to take the fight right to the belly of the beast, and we want to attack straight on these evil anti-American entities like the ADL and the SPLC. I mean, and their logic is so flawed. You know, for example, if this is really how they operate, if a black guy slips on a banana peel in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and somewhere 20 miles down the road, there's a guy in the same town who listens to our show. Using the SPLC's logic, that would mean that the grocer who sold the banana is a racist. I mean, this is the kind of stuff we have to put up with. I don't know if that made any sense, but the point was it wasn't supposed to make any sense. These are just the tactics that they employ to try to shut us up. And the fact is, they're not going to shut us up. As you know, we've done nothing less than honorable here on this radio program, and we're going to continue to fight, and we're going to continue to move forward. And when you hear from Joe McCutchen here in just a couple of minutes, you're going to understand what I mean when I say we're trying to set an example here. You could only do so well as to, we were talking in the first hour about mimicking the tactics of the left. Well, it's important to do that because obviously they've been successful, but we must also mimic the tactics of the true leaders of the constitutionalist movement. And some people would say that we are. I don't know about that, but I do know Joe is. And we're going to be talking to him in just a second. And during this commercial break that's forthcoming, don't forget to check out Joe's website, ArkansasFreedom.com. We're going to be talking to Joe. Obviously, Mike Huckabee has been in the news quite a bit recently. And Mike Huckabee, in addition to many other things that are indicators that he is not a man worthy of our support, he pardoned this violent thug out of prison in Arkansas, and he went on to murder four cops up there in the Seattle area. But Joe has been on to Mike Huckabee for a long, long time. There is things far more dangerous about Mike Huckabee than his proclivity to release violent black felons from prison. And to coincide with our Christmas theme tonight, I hate to bring in charlatans and posers when we're trying to talk about something, you know, uplifting and righteous. But Mike Huckabee has some sort of a Christmas book out now, and you got all these phonies. And I apologize for having Jerome Corsi on this show after learning that he had written a great article about how everyone should support Mike Huckabee because he's this, that, and the other. Well, Joe's going to set the record straight about Mike Huckabee. We wanted to have Joe on last week to talk about Huckabee, but there was a scheduling conflict, and by the time we learned that Joe could appear with us, it was too late to properly promote his appearance, but it has been properly promoted. And now, obviously, the link to his website, ArkansasFreedom.com, is on the front page of our site, and we sent out an email as well this week, I believe earlier today, advertising that Joe's going to be on, because I know a lot of good people out there could be bamboozled by the Huckstrabee, as they call him in Arkansas. And so we want to, about a week later, about a week behind the news on this one, but it still felt incumbent to set the record straight on Huckabee, and no one better to do that than Arkansas's resident patriot, Joe McCutchen. So check him out at ArkansasFreedom.com, and when we come back, we are going to get right into it. I guess that would be my makeshift introduction of Joe McCutchen as he waits in the wings here to come on the program. Also, don't forget, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have our booklet, Liberalism and Its Effects on American Society. It's a collaborative effort that the hosting staff wrote. It's something that we're offering to anyone who donates to this program between now and Christmas Day. So for more information about that, check out our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And I tell you what, I am so excited about what the next 5 years is going to hold, and we're going to talk more about that as well. So we'll be back right after this. Joe McCutcheon on deck.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Getting right down to business, I understand that Joe McCutcheon is now on the line from his home in Arkansas. Joe, I don't know if you caught the last segment, but I tried my best to give you an introduction that would suffice. Welcome back to the program, my friend.
You were much too generous, James.
Not generous enough.
I hope this finds you and your lovely Danny and Isabella to come in fine fettle tonight.
It does. It has been a very good day. We had a nice little radio program-related Christmas party, and certainly, I hope that that joy and peace that comes with this season is finding its way to you and your wife this cold Saturday night here in the South.
You bet.
Well,
Joe, two things before I get into this, then you can tell me what you'd like for me to do. Your analysis and your guest the last hour on cultural Marxism, and it just so happens I'm so excited about this. My wife Barbara just published yesterday a treatise something that is so enlightening. It's entitled "Who is Exterminating the West and How?" It's a four-page treatise in our website, ArkansasFreedom.com. And I beg each of your listeners to take time and read that slowly, the four pages, and they will know what's exactly happening to our country and who's doing it and for what reason. And they'll better understand what's happening right before our noses. So please, audience, do yourself a big favor and log on this and read it when you have a few minutes.
Well,
did
I can
you
tell
want
you
me
folks,
just to give
Joe,
an overview of Huckabee on his, shall we say, misgivings?
Well, absolutely. But before we do, I just want to echo what you said before, Joe. Check it out, ladies and gentlemen, at ArkansasFreedom.com. Joe's a man who doesn't mince words. He's going to give you the kind of meat you deserve. And I'll even do one better. We're going to get that posted up on our blog as well. So it'll be everywhere. But, yeah, Joe Huckabee. Now, you have been a constitutionalist watchdog in Arkansas. You've done there's so much to you. You've done a lot of things. But you certainly hold the cultural Marxist feet to the fire there in your state. Over here in Tennessee, we have our own problems, so I'm not obviously nearly as well informed as to the traitorous actions going on in government there in the state to the west of the Mississippi River. But, yeah, Huckabee. Now, this is a guy that you have been following for years. He's made big news recently with his pardoning of this career criminal that went on to do what career criminals do, and that's rape, rob, murder, and pillage. And he finally got his comeuppance, but not before four police officers were slain. Now, they're saying that this is going to do Huckabee in. I hope that it does. But nevertheless, Huckabee was a guy who in 2008 was able to bamboozle a lot of decent red state Americans, as we call them. I understand he always pretended to be some sort of a preacher, but was he ever packaged as a conservative before that 2008 Republican primary?
Oh no, he's a socialist. That's the best I can say. He's a constitutional criminal, a liar, and a cheat. And I document all of this in our website. But I'll give you your audience. There's tons of information here. Gee, I couldn't do it in 30 minutes. So I had to. It's 30 days more like it. But a poll that was run this past week, which is sadly revealing of the intellect of the American voter, a poll of, I believe it was 1,253 registered voters on the comparative favorability of Obama versus the three Republicans. Obama came in at 46%, and Huckabee 45%. That's a travesty when you have two self-serving parasitic bureaucrats that can garner that many votes. Another thing that's disconcerting is that during all of this hullabaloo about his commutations and pardons, his percentage points of favorability dropped 1 point, went from 36 to 35%.
Wow.
So you got to ask yourself, you know, what's wrong with America, the voters, that they could commit such a crime as that? But anyway, getting on to Huckabee, some of his shenanigans and outright criminal acts, in my view, you've heard about the Clemens murders that you just alluded to a moment ago. Well, let me tell you about one, perhaps, that most of your audience may not be aware of. In 1999, there was a criminal rapist by the name of Wayne Dumont, who had raped a lady over in the Delta region in East Arkansas. He came up for parole, and Huckabee championed that parole under the guise, among other things, of social parity and that such nonsense. But Huckabee demanded that Dumont be released. He still had 25 years to go on his term. And Huckabee said on a CNN show, I'll paraphrase it, wanted to know how he was reflecting on this horrific outcome of the prisoner's release. And Huckabee's response was, well, none of us could predict what Dumont could have done when he got out. And the fact is that confidence, now these are through FOIAs, by the way, Freedom of Information Request, but the confidential files have shown that Huckabee was provided letters from numerous women who had been sexually assaulted by Dumont, and most of them had predicted that he would rape again and possibly murder. But there was one letter, one private letter that came out that's never been made public before, and this victim, which shall remain nameless, and I'll quote what she said, "I feel that if he is released, it is only a matter of time before he commits another crime, and fear that he will not leave a witness to testify against him." Now that, gosh, that's strong. He commits another crime and fear that he will not leave a witness to testify against him the next time. So, and Dumont admitted that rape. And in any case, again, he came out for parole in 1999 under the urgings of Huckabee. So this lady that I just referred to was raped by Dumont with her 3-year-old child lying beside her with a butcher knife held to her throat. So it took a great deal of courage to send this personal letter to Huckabee, who did not act and refused to act on it. It late and Dumont got his parole, moved to Kansas City or the suburbs of Kansas City, raped 2 women, killed 1 for sure, and maybe another one. So that's Reverend Huckabee's stand on commutations and pardons. And it's interesting to note that in the last 3 years of his governorship, he pardoned and commuted more than all the governors combined of the surrounding states of Arkansas, which are 6. He also commuted or pardoned more criminals than all the combined Arkansas governors together. And Arkansas became a state in 1836. So that shows you what this man
that is outstanding facts right there. I'll tell you, to have pardoned more than the governors of the 6 states that border Arkansas, to pardon more than all of the previous governors of Arkansas history, that is really outlandish. And as you brought to the audience's attention tonight, Joe, the pardon of Clemens, who went on to kill, was not his first pardon of serial killer or serial rapist who went on to kill as well. There were others, and you mentioned Dumond as one of them. So this is one thing about Huckabee, although, and I think that's enough, these heinous pardons are enough to thoroughly discredit them, discredit him as a candidate. But some people would say, well, still, though, it was the other people who did it. That is not necessary. I mean, obviously, Bill O'Reilly defended Huckabee. We're going to talk more. There's much more about Huckabee that, in my opinion, is worse than these pardons. And we're going to talk about that when we return. We've got to take a break. Sit tight. Joe McCutchen is back with me right after this.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Joe McCutchen tonight of ArkansasFreedom.com. Joe is a man who, this isn't my opinion, this is fact, has single-handedly taken on the government of the state of Arkansas on behalf of our people and our issues. He's a man who, out of his own pocket, funds statewide radio campaigns and newspaper campaigns and billboards exposing some of the treason that's going on there, fighting to protect Arkansas from illegal immigration, which is certainly having an adverse effect on that state, and so much more. That's what Joe does. He's the real deal. That's why he's on this show tonight. We're talking about Mike Huckabee, a man who Joe not only has had personal dealings with, but a man who he has followed for quite some time. Obviously, in the last segment, we were talking about the big news surrounding Huckabee over recent weeks, and that is his pardons of several criminals who have gone on to commit heinous acts after their release. And I'm sure, as you saw, Joe, Huckabee's cheerleaders at Fox News, Bill O'Reilly in particular, absolved him of any guilt of that. And some people might be saying, well, you know, yeah, I don't like the fact that he did that. But at the same time, he wasn't the one that went on to kill these people. You know, the blame there lies in these people for their own actions. I don't buy into that argument for a number of reasons. But let's just say that there are some people out there still unconvinced that Huckabee's not the right guy for them. Because let's face it, the mainstream media certainly painted him as a candidate that allegedly spoke out for our people. He was a so-called Christian, a so-called conservative, and a lot of people bought that. But let's talk about his what Huckabee has done, Joe, on issues that I think overwhelmingly our people would disagree with him on. The issue of immigration, first and foremost. What's been Huckabee's role there in Arkansas with regard to illegal immigration?
Well, I'm thinking about it before I get to the immigration thing.
Sure.
I'd like to tell your audience that Huckabee has hired a fellow by the name of Richard Haass, H-A-A-S-S. Richard Haass is president of the Council on Foreign Relations. So that tells you what a nexus that Huckabee has with people around the country. He's hired Haass as a foreign advisor. This fellow's a neocon. He's a globalist, a one-worlder. And his associate, another neoconservative, Frank Gaffney, both of these fellows high up in the political pecking order of globalism. Gaffney made the statement not long ago that there should be a homogenization of the United States with Mexico and Canada, rendering our border null and void. In other words, to erase our borders and bring these other two countries in with us. So that shows you who Huckabee's surrounding himself with. He's a dangerous, dangerous man. He's a slicker talker than Bill Clinton ever thought about being. He's a dangerous guy. He wears religion on his sleeve. When it helps him out, he's going across the country saying he has a theology degree, which is an absolute lie. He does not. Getting on the immigration now, I at the top of the show, I said he was a constitutional criminal, and I will show you why he is. Article 1, Section 10 of the U.S. Constitution, I'll paraphrase again, states that no state shall form a compact or relation with any foreign land without the express consent of the United States Congress. So, again, that's no compact. our relationship, our agreement with a foreign land. Huckabee did just that. He first flew without the knowledge of the people of Arkansas, and more specifically, the state legislature. He flew in the state's airplane, which, by the way, he wore out. I've FOI'd his track record on that, getting the logs and what have you. Wore out a King Air, a nice twin King Air. But anyway, in 2003, he met with Vicente Fox, the then president of Mexico, regarding putting in a Mexican consulate. That's that agreement and compact I spoke of in the Constitution, in Little Rock, Arkansas. A short time later, the chargé d'affaires of the Mexican embassy in Dallas said, we do not have the money to pay for such a operation. Right about in 2000, I think it was probably around the latter part of 2004 and early 2005, I became aware of what was going on, and I filed a Freedom of Information Act to determine what all had transpired in this trying to acquire, Huckabee trying to acquire a Mexican consulate for Arkansas. I was able to get a good deal of information, and with their arrogance, they told me I had to show up in Little Rock to pick up the information. So I traveled to Little Rock and went to a fellow by the name of Robert Trevino, who was Huckabee's connection with LULAC, MALDEF, La Raza, all the rest of the organization, Mexican organization. While he was getting the material for me, he redacted some of the most important information in my FOI request, right in front of my eyes. I didn't at the time know what he was doing. What he redacted at that time was the fact that there was three either individuals or organizations that had signed on to subsidize the incoming Mexican consulate for 3 years with an option for three more. So, you know, it didn't take much guessing to figure out just who that might be, like Tyson's and the Waltons and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway, I never have been able to get that information. But for you people who do not know what a consulate is, in this case in Arkansas, its main service is to warehouse illegals and send them out into Arkansas and some other southern states for places of employment, like the poultry, like the construction, and so on, which is knocking American citizens out of jobs right and left. And yet the federal government refuses to enforce 8 U.S.C., which would shut down our borders and deport the 25 to 35 million illegals who are here, who the government claims is only 8 to 12. And according to the government, you know, they're all hiding in the shadows. So in any case, the consulate came, it was formed, and not a chirp out of the Arkansas legislature, which most of them are owned by the packing houses and the construction companies in the state of Arkansas and in peripheral states. When Huckabee went out, before we got into that, he introduced some bills and got them passed, all but one, in the 2005 legislature, and one of them was to give free prenatal care to illegal Mexican women and OTMs, other than Mexicans. Most horrific piece of legislation I've ever seen. It just made laughingstock out of the citizens who are subsidizing all of this. So the bill went into effect July 2005, and in November of 2005, I filed a Freedom of Information request again to see how many illegals had partaken in this newly passed bill. At that point, there was 2,750 illegal women who's already on taxpayers' backs in our state. I FOIA'd again about a year later, and there was right at 8,000. And I calculated through the best information I can get. You know, when you go into a government organization, they either don't have it, can't find it, or they're out to lunch. But anyway, I have calculated, and I can document where Each one of these illegal women is costing the state of Arkansas a minimum of $17,500 because they're awarded all the ancillary services that go in, not just the delivery, but social service, psychiatric service, translation service, just on and on. You can't believe. You'd think they were an endangered species. So anyway, I don't know at this point how many have passed or gone through this thing and understand that every time one of these illegals delivers a child, they're an anchor baby, a U.S. citizen, can be on welfare. They're 21, and frankly, let's face it, as long as they want to be, and they have the option of bringing in their immediate family from whatever the mother country is, in this case, Mexico. So our whole government system is criminally corrupt to the core.
And obviously, Joe, not to interrupt, but this is something that Huckabee has personally facilitated, the aiding and abetting of the illegal invasion.
This is his baby all the way down the line.
But Joe, listen, we got to take...
attempted to give free tuition to illegals. Myself and the state senator, Jim Holt, I'll take some credit for doing this, but we sure paid the price for doing it. Huckabee told us we didn't drink the same Jesus juice that he did, and we were racist, we were uncharitable, we were anti-American, we were anti-life, we were irresponsible. This
Joe,
guy really is a vitriolic son of a gun.
One second, Joe, if you don't mind, just sit tight for one more commercial break. I want to ask you one final question when we come back, if you don't mind.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Well, I'll tell you what, friends, when it's clicking, and we are red hot and rolling tonight with Joe McCutcheon. Joe, I appreciate you staying over for a couple of more minutes. I know you were originally only scheduled for 30 minutes tonight, but there's just so much to talk
fine,
about.
Oh, that's fine, James. No problem.
Well, so much to talk about, and, you know, we've been talking about the pardons that Huckabee has granted to these violent criminals, and I personally believe in swift and harsh justice for capital offenders. It gained Huckabee no favor by releasing these people, but in doing so, his actions have subsequently deprived, a number of children of their parents this Christmas season, as obviously the children of the four police officers up in Washington State. If that alone isn't enough to deter you from voting for Huckabee, and Joe, as you mentioned, this scandal may or may not have sunk his chances at running an effective campaign in 2012. Hopefully, the fact that Huckabee has aided, abetted, and personally facilitated the illegal alien invasion of Arkansas and of the United States through his practices that Joe has just mentioned, hopefully that will be something that will deter you. But Joe, I want to ask you this before you go. I see a lot of schizophrenia, and I know you don't particularly like this word, but it's just... you know, from the so-called conservatives in the South here, particularly the, conservative Christians, as they would identify themselves as being, that voted for Huckabee in the primary campaign against John McCain. You see these people, and when I say schizophrenic, one of the largest Baptist churches in the world is right here in Memphis. I know Huckabee pretends to be a Baptist or a Christian. And you always see them focusing on the abstract rather than the concrete. They here at Bellevue are having a big campaign this December about taking Christmas and exchanging it with the holiday season, and they hate that. And I can go along with that, you know, culturally speaking. But as much as they hate it, they love the people who are behind the attack on Christmas. And see, Huckabee obviously goes to that school of Christianity, and even so, I digress. He was packaged as a conservative, packaged as a Christian, and this gullible and uninformed electorate just lapped it up. Joe, what are we going to do? And I'm telling you, these people in the South that voted for Huckabee, fundamentally speaking, on issues like immigration, perhaps they're not as advanced as we are when it comes to what's really going on in government and this attack on the West. But fundamentally speaking, they agree with us more than they disagree with us.
Oh,
and in doing so,
absolutely.
That should absolutely discredit and discount Huckabee from their vote, yet they continue to vote for him.
Well,
what can we do to change that?
Well, they know something's wrong, but they don't have the foundation nor the time. They're intimidated. There's a host of reasons why we're in a situation we're in. But the big thing is they do know something's wrong, and they're beginning to awaken, at least I think, and in the shows I do around the country, I get that idea. And that's why, and again, I just sound like a sales commercial, but I want your listeners have got to turn on to Barbara's essay on who's exterminating the West and how. They'll learn more in 10 minutes there reading that, or maybe 20 if you're a slow reader. You'll see what's happening to our country and who's performing. And what I say day after day after day, both political parties are corrupt, criminally corrupt to the core. You can't, if you've got any modicum of objectivity, you cannot support either one of these parties. What we have to do is vote all incumbents out. Get them all out. I don't care how sorry the guy running or the gal running against the incumbent. We got to get the incumbents out. They're the ones who are criminally assaulting our once preeminent republic. And I mean, it's just they're cowards. They're self-serving parasites, and we got to get them out of there, James. And if the people continue to worship at the altar of the Democrat or Republican parties, they're fools, and that's exactly what the entrenched politicians want. As long as we are, you know, going back and forth, conservative, liberal, these words are useless. They don't have any meaning anymore. We got to talk about where it is. Marxism, a nexus with fascism. Citizens got to understand what fascism is. It's a nexus or a connection between government and corporations where they both have a symbiotic relationship and the government prevails. They have to understand these kind of things. You can't just, I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. That's past. You know what Jefferson and Franklin said? Political parties will be the ruin of this country. And that's precisely what's happening.
Well, people have got to see past the packaging, Joe. I mean, people will say, well, you know, you're just down on everybody, James. You don't like anybody. Well, you know, I liked Ron Paul. I liked Pat Buchanan. You know, I voted for those guys and felt good about doing it. But, you know, they're going to say, well, Huckabee's obviously a lot better than John McCain, for example. I mean, look at Huckabee. You know, he's out with this Christmas book right now. I mean, he's on our side. But they couldn't be further from the truth. But this is the thing. I mean, you know, that's the way the media manipulates our people. As I said, we have an ignorance problem. We have a gullibility problem. Just because he's packaged as such doesn't make it so. And in fact, you know, yeah, I'm not on the Palin bandwagon. I'm not on the Huckabee bandwagon. These aren't our people. I mean, just because they're presented to us in a certain way doesn't change the fact that they are no better or no worse than people like McCain or, dare I say, Barack Obama, if I'm not going too far here.
Well, you can't, you hear it said daily, well, I'm going to vote for the lesser of two evils. You can't, you know, both are evil. So there is no difference to them. It might be a matter of degree, but both are evil. And when we just have to get rid of these incumbents and start over, we're in a nosedive to the abyss. And the only way we can pull out, if we in fact can, is to vote these guys out. I mean, you look at this health care bill. They don't give a rat's about the American people and their feeling, but they passed this, and they now have absolute control of our society. And the aim is always, this is by design, to destroy the founding stock of this country, which is middle-class America.
Well, that's
once
exactly
they get rid of us, they're home free for globalism.
That is exactly, thank you, Joe. You put it right into perspective. That is exactly what Huckabee is working towards. He is absolutely attacking Western culture, Western civilization through his support of illegal immigration. You can't have a first world nation with a third world population, and that's what he's working to bring in.
Said before LULAC?
What's that? Oh, yeah, going and speaking to these people.
He was a speaker of the LULAC, National LULAC Convention, held in Little Rock a couple, 3 years ago. And he made this statement, pretty soon Southern white guys like me may be in the minority. Ho, ho, ho. So, you know, when our own people are betraying us, and of course that's what's happening in D.C., that's what's going to happen. Mike Beebe, governor of Arkansas, he said, oh, it's this invasion we're having, it's a federal you know, I say, Mike, are you willing to have our sovereignty overrun because it's somebody else is not doing their job? But that's precisely what they do. They're all corrupt. Get them out of here.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for setting the record straight there on Huckabee. As I said, wanted to have you on to talk about him because he has been making news and because it's you can't repeat enough the truth, and the truth is something we try to get out on this show. But, folks, do yourself a favor. Joe McCutchen, among other things, is, as he mentioned, a national radio commentator. He's makes the talk show circuits. He's a featured guest on many shows, this one included. But check him out at ArkansasFreedom.com. Read those articles, especially that new four-page report that his wife has put together. Send it out to your friends. Educate them. We've got to educate people, or else we're always going to fall hook, line, and sinker for the charlatans like Huckabee. He can go around promoting a Christmas book, but it doesn't change the fact. Listen, illegal immigration is one of the biggest litmus tests there is. If a guy is going out of his way to make sure that they have a red carpet rolled out for him as they trudge across the Rio Grande, that's not a guy we should support. And Huckabee has done that and more.
Right now.
Joe, thank you so much for your service and your friendship, and have a Merry Christmas.
Well, Merry Christmas to you and your audience, and Danny for sure.
Well, I will certainly tell her you said that, and we'll talk to you next time, my friend.
Good night.
Joe McCutchen, everybody, ArkansasFreedom.com. Now, with that out of the way, we're done politicking for the night. We have an hour left in the show, but we're done politicking for the night. When we come back during tonight's third and final hour, we're going to lay down our swords just before Christmas. Don't worry, we're going to pick them back up come next week's show. But we're going to lay down our swords. I'm going to be joined by Political Cesspool co-hosts Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Winston Smith. And we're going to be talking about Christmas. We're not going to focus on the negatives during the third hour. We're not going to talk about the fact that, the White House has outlawed nativity scenes, although Rahm Emanuel has, presided over the lighting of a 2,000-foot menorah or however big it is. We're not going to talk about the war on Christmas. We're just going to talk about Christmas. We're going to send you into the big day with some feel-good stories, and we're going to share childhood memories, favorite Christmas memories, and we're going to commit a hate crime by reading the Christmas story. It's a beautiful story, and it's at the center of all that is Christmas and at the heart of a faith that has certainly left its impression on Western culture, as beleaguered as weak as the Christian faith has become in terms of its advocates in a lot of these big churches now. And as I mentioned, their schizophrenia and deluded version of Christianity. We're going to give you the unadulterated story of Christmas from the Gospel of Luke, and that's all forthcoming during tonight's third and final hour. We'll be back right after this.
Tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.